regular shenanigans.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I like to make fun of other podcasts and shows for is they'll say, well, today we have a very special guest, which is to say that all the other days it's just a regular guest.
An ordinary guest.
Yeah, just somebody. Seems like a nice enough person.
We seek out extraordinary guests.
We do. Special points to Michelle for showing up before the show to leave comments. Good for you. You
get extra credit for being here early. Welcome Elizabeth. To the Backpack Show, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Backpack Show. Insights about success from unusual places.
The other day, I saw my pal David Mullings talking to someone and saying how incredible she is. We've had David on the show. You've seen him. I said, Carrie, we need that. And so I shook down David, like, get us that right there, whatever that is. And he goes, that's
whatever that is.
He seems nice.
So, a retired WNBA player.
I've never talked to an NBA or WNBA player. I have 1,000 questions about that. And she has a charity now.
How about the Jamaican Hurricane for your very first WNBA player to talk to?
We could talk about food. We could talk about festivals. And Deb's here. She knows what it's all about.
Waiting to join. Just come on
in. You're here.
In.
You're this here. Is here. It. It's on. Welcome to the show.
This is
nothing
it.
Nothing else fancy happens.
Nuh-uh.
All right. Well, I mean, this happens.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka. You're just so every happy time. To have that back. So happy.
Every time. So good. Hey, Leslie. Festival is yummy. How do you explain that to people, though? How do you explain a little bread tube is delicious? Well, I guess everyone likes breadsticks at the Olive Garden, too.
So oh, my gosh. But only at the Olive Garden. If you try to take them home, they're like all soggy and gross. Like it doesn't work. Couldn't even do it. The whole pandemic, like one of the most difficult things was living without Olive Garden breadsticks. They're not the same for delivery.
You and I don't really have a lot of knowledge about sports kickball between us. I was telling somebody the other day that the last time I can name anybody on any NBA team beyond one player maybe is 1986 Boston Celtics. And then there was that guy with the tongue in Detroit. I forgot his name already.
Don't ask me. I mean, Jordan. I know a guy with the tongue in Detroit, but it's probably not the same guy, I don't think.
Jordan. But the other, you know, I don't know anybody. So we got to grab ourselves, you know, an Islander. Did we agree it was all of Jamaica or the whole Caribbean?
Jamaica. Just the first Jamaica, Jamaican first WNBA player, Simone Edwards.
All right. Simone Edwards is going to join us right now. Simone, who else? Who else is down there? There can't be too many other WNBA players in the islands.
I think they have probably like 3 in the WNBA right now, if I'm sure.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. Probably 2, or I don't know if one retired.
So have probably. Were you playing since you were a little kid? Like, when did you first start playing?
No, I actually started playing at going into my senior year in high school. So I started learning the game at 16. And then I got I got offered a scholarship before I learned the game.
No way. They were like, wow, you're really tall. You should learn this game.
Yeah, I was actually coming from a track meet and I met these two coaches and they were watching the track meet. And they were like, you're tall, you're athletic. You know, if you... We'll teach you the game and give you a scholarship. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll take that, you know, especially being so poor and didn't know where I was going to go. My parents couldn't afford college and all that stuff. So you're offering me a scholarship, even though I didn't know what the game was like, what? I'll learn it. I mean, just teach me what it is. I'll learn it if you're going to give me a scholarship.
But right out of the gate, you were kicking butt. You were undefeated at Seminole. You right out of the gate, like you.
Right out of the gate.
That's like, not fair. You're supposed to struggle for a while.
I know, right? I am. It was one of those things. I think that, you know, when you're coming from a place where, you know, poverty and you know, this is my way out. And, you know, I have to give it everything to survive. I can't go back without nothing. So the whole year I'm training and I didn't have any basketball shoes. I couldn't afford it. So I'm on the concrete in the hot sun. Just training, learning the game. And then when I get the scholarship now, you know, that's totally different because, you know, in college, you're running these players that are playing for, you know, from high school or before, they know the game well. And I'm still like new, just 1 year in of just learning it. And I just start still practicing while I was there because I knew I had to catch up. And in the 1 year after that first year, it's like, you're all American. I'm like, huh? I'm all Jamaican, coach. I didn't even know what all American was. That's how bad it was. You know, I was just playing. And he was like, you're second team. I said, second. Next year, I went for first. Kodak, one of the nominees for player of the year. I just said, I can't take second. Second is not good. So, you know, it was one of those things that you just put, it's a skill game. So you just put in the work. And again, you know what you came for. I'm like, I cannot go back without, you know, making a difference. I have to succeed.
So it gets crazier because you show up at tryout camp with 300 people in New York. They say, well, we're only going to pick three today. So that's like the smallest percentage. Oh, it's 3%. 3% of the people here are going to actually get a job. You were one of them. How did that even happen?
And, you know, I was coming off two back-to-back ACL, and I had this this big brace on my knee, and I came off the ferry, and I'm afraid of boats, so I was sick the whole time off the ferry coming up here to the train, so I'm like, oh, God, so I'm weak. But when I got there, it's like, I got to do this. You know, I just gained that energy. I was just flying above the rim because, you know, I said, there's 300 girls. I have to show what I can do that they probably can't. And one thing I can do is jump. And the other thing, I was a sprinter in the Jamaica before I got. So one thing I can do as a tall girl is sprint. So I was just sprinting up and down the court, running fast. And then I was jumping above the rim. So I, you know, impressing them. So it was just so easy for me to go. They're like, do you know how you were? No, I'm just jumping. So I think that was what impressed them because, you know, the other things, these other girls, again, a lot of them have been playing for years. And I just know that I have to show what I got that they probably did.
So you're trying to master a game that you'd never played. And I imagine there's a little bit of culture shock happening as well.
Oh, the culture shock actually happened as soon as I got to seminar. I mean, you're talking about I'm walking across the street from the dorm to school and then something hit me in the head. And I didn't know all this hard ice coming down. I ran in the dorm, start praying under the bed. Think God is coming. I didn't know it was hail. You know? I was like, what the heck is that? You know, that's not normal, you know, ice falling from the sky. And then just, you know, I remember somebody giving me some hush puppies and I'm like, I don't eat dog. You know, and, you know, there's certain things that, you know, just hit you, you know. So, you know, going there again, everything, even everything was just, you know, I'm alone. I'm from Jamaica, you know, a small island. I didn't have a lot of warm clothes. You know, and stuff. So it was really a struggle, but I just knew I had to succeed. So it doesn't matter what I was adapting. I was doing the two-step in Oklahoma before I leave, singing Reba and Garth Brooks. I just adapted everything. So when I got there, it was just about focus. You know, I was on a mission and nothing was going to stop me. So I just said, I'm giving it all. When you give it your all, especially when you put so much work in, you just have to believe so much in yourself that it's going to happen. And it did. I'm so grateful.
What'd you do between 97 and 2000, though? The Liberty picks you up in 97. You don't really see play with them until you get into the Storm in Seattle in 2000. First off, I hope those people were biting the insides of their mouth and feeling so bad after. But how did you keep your mind on the goal, 97 to 2000? What were you doing then?
I was in Israel.
So you went and played with – that's when you played the national team. Okay.
Yeah, I went to Israel. No, I went to Israel. Gotcha. I played in Israel. I went in 97. I went straight from the WNBA to Israel for that season. So the WNBA is in the summer.
Oh, you played pro in Israel.
Yeah.
You didn't come back.
So I went to Israel and played six seasons in Israel. I was over there playing because I had, for the WNBA, you know, you're going against all these great stars. These are people that are coming out of the college, the big college, Connecticut, all these colleges that have been playing for you and they're stars. I didn't play much in Iowa because of my knee, back-to-back knee surgery. So I wasn't no much. So I had to go and try to, you know, get better. And so I went to Israel and I was top in one of the top in scoring and rebounding. I had to show what I had. And so when I was finished, you know, before I was, you know, in by 2004, I was one of the top players. So when my agent sent my tapes in, all these coaches, you know, Miami, all the new, the inaugural team, New York, all of them wanted. And so Seattle got me because they were, you know, an inaugural team at a time and they got the pick. So I ended up in Seattle and I was just so grateful because Seattle is such a great place to play, you know, great place to play.
It seems as though you never really stopped and just said, well, I've got mine, so I'm pretty set. You've been giving back to others from the very beginning, like when you were with the Storm. Is that when you started your nonprofit?
Yes. Once I got with the Storm, you know, I started that. I was giving back before, but that's when I started a nonprofit. I just didn't feel like I need any car or anything. I just had two suitcases traveling with, so I was giving away most of my money. I was actually just making sure kids were going to school. So I would send money home to make sure that, because I know that my, wherever I was living, they usually pay for it and everything. And again, I didn't leave a car. I didn't need anything. So I didn't need that money, I was saying to myself. So I was just sending it home, making sure kids were going to school, paying for their school fee, their clothes, because that's what how I was when I was young. I had one pair of shoes for school, and it was a struggle. I went to the shoe man a lot. So that one pair of shoes lasts for a long time because the shoeman was always fixing it. It wasn't, you know, and so, and I remember going to school with my mom's shoes, this plastic one, and it kind of slid on the side and I had to go to the teacher to sew it for me and stuff like that. So I just wanted to make sure kids feel comfortable. So I was just paying for their stuff.
So where did you get the idea to actually have a formal nonprofit? Like a lot of people will give back or donate to other organizations, but you started your own.
Yeah, I wanted my own because also, you know, I everything I did from then is just because of the kids. I wanted kids to see, you know, especially kids living in poverty back home, to see that I made it. You know, I want to be an example. So I wanted everything to be around me so they can see, you know. And the kids, especially in my community, they can say, oh, she did it. You know, because kids want something they're familiar with. Okay, she came from the ghetto. Oh, she came, she did it. So everything I did, I tell them to put Jamaican on it. You know, make sure they put Jamaican on it. It was so important to me that they say, so I, that's why I had a Jamaican hurricane. Because it's it was so important to me that these kids can see, oh, she's Jamaican and she's doing it. So that's why I did it that way.
I made a lot of love in the comments saying you're unstoppable. Congratulations. We appreciate you. You're a beautiful person. So you have a lot of fans spreading a lot of love out there.
I appreciate that.
I don't want to tap too hard on this. And it's always important to tell people if you're from someplace that's known for some bad parts, there's always good parts too, right?
Yes. But
you are not from the easiest part of Kingston.
No.
You were from the part where bad things happen to good people a lot.
Yeah, I was from the part that you wake up with gunshots. And when you walk outside as a kid, you see gunshells, some parts. And yeah, I, you know, I remember crossing a dead body one time. We discovered a dead body. We went for books because as a child, we used to go to the dumpster. That's where they would dump the books. At a dumpster. So we wanted to read and we love reading, you know, so we'd run over there and we'd get boxes and just put the books, our favorite books in it. And then one time we were about to, there was this body and I just remember the face covered with a white paper and we saw it and I was just shocked. And the guy, and I said, don't move the paper, don't, because I don't move the paper because I didn't want to see the face so bad. I mean, and we just ran. And, you know, it was like 2 weeks later, you know, they, like, 2 weeks later, we didn't tell our parents that that happened anyway. Because we always wanted to go to the dumpster. That's where books, that's where the books, we didn't have a library close by or things like that. And so when we went back 2 weeks later and we said, we're not going that part, we're going into the part that the furnace where they dumped the book, there were two bodies down there, a couple.
Oh, no.
And, oh, gosh. So it was like, you know, it was one of those things, you know, like, oh, my gosh. So, we, again, you know, gunshots and all those things, you just get used to. But I just love where I grew up, though. It was just the fruit trees, the people are still nice, you know, everybody know you and everything. It's just that you have that and you wish you could take that part away, but you can't. But, you know, but yeah, it was, it's tough. It was tough.
So is that one of the things your organization does is make sure kids get books? so they don't have to go.
Yeah, what my organization does is make sure kids get, I have a homework center. I created a homework center. Because I know as a child, you know, your parent don't really know how to help you a lot of time with school, especially in those, you know, they're busy or they didn't finish school or whatever. So these kids, I want to make sure that they have the help they can so they come home after school. But it's also a safe place just in case, you know, because some parents are so aggressive. So I want to have a safe place for them to come, do their homework and give them snacks. So I give them food and all of that. And now I'm setting up, so I sent a projector home, so when it's Friday and Saturday they can come watch movies, get popcorn. I just want to have a place for them to go, because I know some of them are living in homes that, you know, they need an escape from, and I want to make sure there's a safe space, you know, for whatever I can do in that space. And I give out groceries to them so they have food, especially during this time. So I'm doing all I can to make sure, you know, I make a difference in a child's life as much as I can. I don't have a lot, but the little I have, I give.
Kate wants to know where she can buy your book.
Well, my website or Amazon. You can buy from my website or Amazon.
Amazon's is cbrogan.me/unstoppable. But if you go to simoneforchildren.org, the number 4, simoneforchildren.org, you can also see it. Oh, I'm looking at something no one else is looking at. You can get it right there too. So either cbrogan.me/unstoppable or simoneforchildren.org. And it's on a few different pages. You can find it there.
But if you're going by there, then you should donate to the organization too.
Yeah, it's only $20 a month. You can get by without $20 a month.
Yeah, I would love that.
One latte a week right there, right, Simone? That's one latte.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Elizabeth says, Simone's story is amazing and that you can overcome anything and still be human and humble as well.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, it gets harder and harder to be humble for you, because then you were named the National Spokesperson for the Caribbean American Heritage Month back in 2017. You put out the book. All of this stuff's happened. What's 2021 mean for you? What are you doing out there?
Well, you know, I am looking forward to, you know, making some big moves. I'm hoping, you know, I can get, you know, people on board. I just took over the national program in term for the national youth basketball team in Jamaica. So all the teams under 15, under 17, you know, under 18, I'll be, or representing Jamaican basketball, I'll be the one over that. And also, you know, working with David, I'm looking forward to working with David Mullins. He's such a great guy. And just to open up some doors for me. I just moved to Florida, so, you know, you know, so I'm just looking forward to that and hoping that I can get some more speaking engagement for my books and get more books sold and all of that stuff. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'm just doing all I can from my side and hoping some doors will be open for me in the meantime, because I love what I do. And my passion is always for the kids. And so if anybody see me or know me, I don't have much because I give it away. I told to the kids, I've been wearing the shoes for a long time. They said, what? I said, it's still over. And then I go and use my money and buy like 50 pairs of shoes for the kids. So I just sent home 50 pairs of shoes and some, you know, tablets, especially when my Seattle fan or my other donate so I can do these things. So it's totally my passion. So anybody know me know that it's never for me. I give everything to the kids.
Kate says beautiful. She lives in Clearwater, so come visit.
Aw, so sweet.
Kate's a great host, by the way. All right, listen, I need to put you backstage for a minute. I got to read an ad or two. It means you can go get a drink or something. But,
okay, but don't go away, anyone go anywhere. We have some questions.
Simone's our only guest today, so don't anyone run away. I'll put you backstage for just a minute. Boop. Right, she's been booped. That's a lot. Dean says hi, by the way, Simone. Dean Roden says hi. He wants you to know.
So you remember when we had David on the show, she's talking about David Mullings.
David Mullings, yeah.
Everybody, we had a very warm reception among the backpack community. But,
well, that's what I want to ask in the second part. I want to ask a little bit about, you know, oh, look at that. Sisters have arrived as well. I want to ask so much. I want to ask about what it takes to bring, look how many people came. I want to know what it takes to bring the island to everybody else. Hey, there's my biological father, Steve Brogan. All right, let me do my ads and stuff like that. We got to talk about some cryptocurrency stuff because you want some, we got some. We have sponsors like crazy because people did some things. So, oh, Kate's going to try to make you some exposure connections to Simone.
All right, David's going to take care of her. I just know.
I know. We're sponsored by, I'll do some fast ones first. Castos. If you don't like our face, but you like our voice, castos.com hosts our podcast. So much less attractive. All right. cbrogan.me/online. You want a domain dot online domain? Go to cbrogan.me/online. Use the code Chris in all caps. We are sponsored by the incredible video software StreamYard. You can have a video show just like this.
That's how we get to do all these things like show comments while we're talking and banners and all sorts of things. It has Make so much more capability than any other platform out there.
StreamYard. Get your own WNBA player. She doesn't always do it.
Will you hush your mouth?
All right. Hey, you want the future search engines? It's not necessarily Google. It could be Presearch. We're sponsored by Presearch.com for another week. Thank you so much, Kate and Presearch. Presearch.com is a decentralized search engine. I've been running it solely for a week. I have not gone back to Google once in a week. I'm doing fine. Keep finding the things I want. Presearch.
Did you go back to look for the Jamaican hurricane?
Yeah, I just did a look right now to find out all that information I read about Simone as if I knew it. Presearch.com told me all that information. So, hey, do you like water? Well, what's better than water? Badass Water. We're sponsored by Badass Water Company. I don't know anything about them. They're water.
Why don't you look in Presearch?
Yeah. So if you go to Presearch.com and you type in Badass Water Company, they'll probably complain about Flint, Michigan. But then if you go to badasswatercompany.com,
goodness gracious,
you will have some water. We are sponsored also by Ask Dr. Bitcoin. Hey, have you been slightly, I've got to move my little buttony thing. Hey, have you ever been slightly interested in knowing what's going on in the land of cryptocurrency? Because we have one on the Backpack Show. You could get a newsletter by our friend Mark Risen Hopkins, askdrbitcoin.substack.com. Hey, I'm just going to start every read with, hey, my friend Jeff Pulver, speaking of coin again, Jeff Pulver has pulveredu.com. He has a go back to school project where you can come in and learn from teachers and you can pay just 7 Jeff coins a class at the door. You heard me. You go to rally.io. Instead of looking for backpack coins, you look for Jeff. You can put 7 coins in and go to a class, pulveredu.com, where really inspired learners come to meet passionate educators.
Guess who snuck in?
Oh, my mother, my biological mom.
And one of Simone's senior players who loves her.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that?
So cool. I'm so excited. I need her back because we have questions.
All right. So we have one other thing we do on the show lately, which is we give out a little bit of cryptocurrency. That's going to end sometime soon. We can't keep doing it.
I thought we were going to do just
I'm not made of fake digital money. Yeah, we'll do a couple more. Hey, okay. We'll do one more. So listen, we've got some cryptocurrency we're sending you to. This is real money. You go to rally.io and make yourself a free account. You give us your account name either right now or you send an email to carrie@chrisbrogan.com.
My writing is terrible.
And Carrie's terrible writing will tell you what the password is of the day. Hurricane.
Hurricane.
Yep. It's because you can't spell Jamaican or we would have made you write both words. So password of the day is hurricane. So this is to get a crypto coin. You can buy some coins. We're going to send you some though. Wait, we're going to send you some, which is always nice, right? And
we're just going to give some to you.
Yep. And person of the day, of course, gets some as well. All right, let's get Simone back. That was a lot of reads. Listen, we have lots of sponsors.
You don't have to do them all at once,
now.
You know.
I know, but we have lots of sponsors now because people sponsor with their backpack coins.
Yes. And you can come backstage with us. Somebody should have come backstage with us today.
10 coins and you come and hang out backstage with Simone. You would have had so much fun with us.
And she was so set up too. She popped in and it was like set. She needed no help of any kind. Just like basketball.
Almost like she does lots of videos and she's always the first and best at everything she's ever done. Is that true, really? You're back. Is that really true? You're always the first and best?
I'm always doing my best.
Marianne Simonton says hi to you.
Yes, and Kate wants to know.
I'm a senior player. I coach seniors, 70-year-olds, 65, 60, in the senior games.
Oh, my gosh.
My younger senior players that, you know, from the 55, 60s. And then I had coached the 70s. So that's one of the things I love to do. Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
And they can support your nonprofit too. That seems like a very good group. That.
They're really awesome.
So are you on social media anywhere?
Katie asking. At Jam Hurricane for Instagram and Facebook. J-A-M Hurricane.
I will make a banner for it and tell everyone.
Jam Hurricane. So I got to take a look because, you know, it's fun to peek at people's Instagrams.
There it is.
Little basketball in the name, little basketball thing. Oh, it's private though. So we have to be your friend first. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'd like to imagine that after this, you'll accept my request, but we'll see.
Oh, definitely.
That's right.
Okay, you should know first that I play no sports of any kind. I did cross country.
I actually connect more with people that don't really play basketball and too. So
I ran cross country. Was the only sport I could do by myself.
Wow, that's a lot of running, and I don't like running much. That's why I just sprinted. It's quick, zoom.
Yep. Well, for you, I mean, the same distance seemed like a lot shorter than me. I'm 5'6". I mean, how tall are you, Simone?
6'4". 6'4"? Yes.
Yeah,
that's so never come up like, in an interview.
Done. What?
No, I'm just joking about that. Must be a height. Question you get a little bit. Simone, what's just
comparing notes as a cross country runner? Oh, yeah, felt like she'd have an advantage. That's all.
She's running in a whole different country than you if she's 6'4 and you're 5'6". Simone,
I'm offended. But
what's it mean to bring the Jamaican spirit out to more people? Like, how do you show people and be the ambassador that you are for the entire lifestyle of people in Jamaica? And what do you do to spread that around? And what do people ask you the most about that you're so surprised about from back home?
Well, you know, starting back when I went to college, they used to say, oh, y'all have cars or you swing on trees?
Oh, no.
That really pissed me off, so I start working even harder. You know, then what, you know, now it's really, but then when I was playing pro in Israel, they said, you smoke a lot of marijuana? Because every Jamaican's supposed to be smoking ganja. Ganja, marijuana? And I'm like, no, like looking at you like, why you jump so high? One asked me, if I eat a lot of chicken, that's why I jump so high. Because I would jump so high, like you jump so high, it's so stupid. But now, actually, you know, people just ask me, you know, where I'm from in Jamaica, and that they've been there, and they ask me about where the cool places to go and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's not those questions like before. They just ask about, you know, they're more interested in where I'm from, and you know, they want to go, where should they go, and stuff like that.
Well, I was interested in the work you were doing. That's why I got you. I was like, Chris, go and get your friend David to book her for the show.
Shake her down.
Deb wants to know if you're on Twitter. It sounds like Instagram, yes. I'm not sure about Twitter.
I think I am on Twitter. I'm not there much, but I do think I am on Twitter. The same as Jam. I just don't. I think I'll go back. But I didn't do much on Twitter. But it's at Jam Hurricane. Should be. It's the same.
Okay. Well, you know. You can find her on Instagram, but you've got to be friends.
I'll add them. It's okay.
I mean, Deb is okay. I can't speak for everybody who might request you. Yes, Deb.
Talk to us a little bit about the book Unstoppable. What was the important things that you needed to get covered in there? And what was the part that you thought, oh my gosh, why did I say I was going to write a book?
Okay, so I needed to write a book because I wanted more people to see the journey. I wanted to motivate kids that, especially for the basketball part, young kids that are want to play again, they feel like, you know, they're so behind, you know, and I want to show them. I took a year. It only took me a year. So it's all about the skill, the time you put in. I want to be an example for that so they can see that it's about the work you put in. You can still be great. For the book, especially for the kids, I say for kids living in poverty, especially kids back home, it was for them to see that your present circumstance does not dictate your future. I wanted them to know that they could, you know, be great. They could still go after anything they want, not because they're poor, not because they don't have much now. Don't look at your present circumstance. You know, your life can change, you know, based on what you put in it and your belief and your goals. And so it was so important for me to write that book, to share that, my journey about my struggles and how I, you know, made it to the WNBA, you know, because you don't get in the WNBA easy, especially now. You don't last that long, especially now. But I think it's the great fans and the Seattle Storm, because my knees were out a little. But Seattle, again, is such a great place to play that, you know, I'm just blessed to be there. But the book is all about my journey to, you know, the WNBA.
Gotcha. You played every game of six first seasons of the Seattle Storm. Is that right?
Every yes.
Every game. And you're the only person who could say that. That's crazy. Where does that come from? You didn't want even just to take a day off every now and again?
No, no day off. Those fans are so awesome. And I love the game. And, you know, people don't understand. So basketball was never my passion. You know, it was my means to an end, my way out. You know, somebody presented to me and said, listen, there's your way out of poverty. I'm giving you an opportunity. And then I'm in it and I'm in college, and then my knee went out and everything, and I didn't get to finish my master's in sociology because I didn't have any money and my scholarship was up, and they need $25,000 and I have $25, so that didn't work. I need some extra zeros. I'm like, they're only zeros. Can you just take them off? But, you know, it was one of those things that you're like, okay, I have to do this. I have to get in the WNBA because then I get if I'm not going to stay home, can my work visa, my school visa is up. So I have to get a work visa. So that's what I was thinking in my head. You know, I go into Dublin, I get a work visa so I can be here and I can. And then I did that and I got my work visa and then I, you know, I just keep going. So it was all about, you know, just a way, a means to an end. And then when I got to the, especially Seattle, it becomes just like, and those fans are so awesome. And you have all these fans in there and they're, you know, I have these kids, and I was mostly interested in the kids, and they would give me their babies, and I'll try to run away with their babies. And, bring them back. And so, you know, and these babies now are in their 20s, and they're there, and they're on my Facebook, and they're like, you're my favorite still. And it just means a lot, because that connection from then, because I was just so grateful to the sport. A lot of people now, the kids play, and they're not humble to it. But for me, that connection is like, you took me, you know, you helped me give back to my community. You helped me get here. And so I just love the sport for that. And so the fans and everything, I felt like I wasn't too busy to spend my time to write the signed autograph. And other people, if I was the last one there trying to sign, I want to sign everyone. Because if they wait in the line, they deserve it. Even when our time was up and they said we could go, I just wait until the last signature. Because they took the time to be here. Without them, we wouldn't have the team. And so I, you know, it's just one of those things that you're just so connected. I was just connected to the game based on what it brought to me, my life, the change it brought to my life.
Deb has to go put her kid to sleep, but she wanted to say it's so awesome to learn about you and hear your story. I wish I could stay longer, but it's bedtime for the kid. You're a stellar example for people back home. See you on Instagram. So
she's okay to accept her. I don't okay. know.
Deb's good. Deb's good people.
Okay.
So Deb.
I can't get over the part where you're like, oh, I just, you know, I'll just be a WNBA just so I get that work visa. You know, other people just work at Starbucks.
I couldn't even get, you know, I know it was Starbucks wouldn't give me a work visa, so I had to get into WNBA.
Or be an accountant. Yeah, there were some other options.
You talked about the fans for Hurricane. We haven't talked much about the WNBA versus NBA stuff that goes on, the difference in pay, the difference in treatment, all that sort of thing. And I know you don't want to throw any rocks at anyone because you're awful happy.
Just reality is just what it is.
It really is what it is.
Here in the WNBA, I got $5,000 for the season. That was my first paycheck.
$5,000.
So people always say, you know, we're not like the NBA. So, you know, it's just the inaugural season, you know. I think the most they paid that season was for the franchise player was like $25,000. But for me, you know, I was one of those developmental players, you know, the ones that didn't activate yet. So it was $5,000. And, you know, it didn't, you know, you keep coming back, you go up to like $50,000. You don't make a lot of money. especially in my time, they bring it up now. I'm so thankful girls can make over $200,000. But compared to the men, that's even the last guy sitting on the NBA bench makes more than $200,000. So, you know, it's still way behind.
It's crazy. You mentioned Seattle fans. All the Seattle sports teams seem to have the most insane fans. Why? Why is it when you were out there, did you get any sense of that? Why are they so amazing out there?
I can talk for the Storm fans, how amazing they are, because I remember when we just started in August season, we used to get our butt kicked. We were like six games, you know, and the fans, winning six games, you're there and somebody's beating by 20 points, but we're going so hard and no one left the gym. And then at the end of the game, they just start clapping us. You know, and it's like, wow, you know, this is amazing. And since then, I was like, I have to give these people a ring. They deserve a championship, you know, because it's all these years, they never booed us. They clap. You know, when I was in New York and we were there that first year, they booed for some game. You hear some of these people booing. And then in Seattle, they were clapping because they just appreciate how hard we work. It was about how hard we were working. And we were just relentless on the court, you know, but we were losing. We were getting our butt kicked for the first 3 years. And then it started changing or turning around. You know, the third year we start doing a little better. And then the fourth year was a boom. We got the ring. And it was like, oh my gosh, I got a ring. I got a ring, you know? There are a lot of NBA players that don't have a ring, but they have the money. But I got the ring, and it was so important because meaning I got the ring, that means the fans got their championship, and that day was just amazing. It was, you're standing in the court and you're looking up and tears in your eyes because the fans were so, they were just going crazy, you know, they got their championship and they've been waiting from day one. They didn't leave us, and it was like they so deserve it. Until now, they're still, you know, awesome. The few that followed me and stayed with me. There are a few that from the Nautilus season that stay with me, you know?
You know, Boston fans would not have been that gracious.
No.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that get the booze, not in Seattle.
Oh my gosh, please. You could be having like an amazing, unprecedented season. And if you do one little thing wrong, they'll be like, what's the matter with you? Like immediately. They'll still come.
I've been loving comments right here. You know, boo y'all, that's tough love. I feel like a very warm crowd follows you around, obviously, Simone.
Yes, I have some beautiful people in my life and fans. They're so awesome. Because I'm so close to them, you know, I don't treat them like fans, you know.
Right.
They're like family. So, you know, I appreciate them. And they just follow me all these years, a lot of them, and some of them are like sisters, you know, so they call me sis. These are friends, you know, they call me sis because it's such a close relationship.
I was at the point I stopped counting. I thought you had like 75 sisters.
But listen, you do everything to give back. So you went and pursued that ring to give back to the fans for being loyal and dedicated and welcoming. And then, you know, you do everything else for the kids. Like, you're not making a lot of money. You say that and people are still imagining that you do.
Yeah.
But you were giving back like right from the beginning. And I'm still like, this is BS. You know, some of those guys in the NBA, like it's a little, little BS. They need to donate you some money now. That's what I think.
Retroactively. Helps, you know, people, and I guess, you know, I get my fans, you know, they do, but I love that, you know, they don't have much, but they give a little and it makes a difference. But, you know, what they appreciate about me most is that, again, I give from myself first. So I'm the biggest donor to my foundation. So it's not like I'm out there trying to be rich. I don't have a BMW or anything. I have a 2001 Mustang. I didn't buy anything. I just figured that I just need a car to drive. Kids need food, kids need clothes, kids need this. I don't need any material things to show anything. I just need a place to live and be humble within it. And but my passion is to know that, you know, when I went home one time and this guy, I didn't know him, he just came up to me and he said, "Thank you, Simone." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "You know, you sent my kids to school when I was down." And he said, "I so appreciate it." And, you know, the last time I was home, I was with the kids and I feel a tug on my foot and I looked down. It was a little kid. She was like 3 or 4. And she said, "Ma hungry." And she said she was hungry. And I just rushed, and I was like, this thing, I rushed down to the store, and I said, whatever you want, whatever you want. And she had it, and she said, thank you. And then she go back to doing her work. And it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, you must want to feed every kid in the world that's hungry and give them that space. So it's just, I just always, you know, I beg all the time people to help, because I said, there's so many kids that need it. It's not for me, it's for them. So the ones who know me and knows that, you know, whatever I do, I give back so much, you know, to the kids. So I just want opportunities. I always ask for opportunities. That's what I got, right? You give me a chance to train, you give me a scholarship, an opportunity, and I make the best of it. You give, so that's why I ask for opportunities a lot of time, like speaking engagement, where I can make money so I can help the kids. If they don't want to give me money, give me an opportunity. But, you know, I said a lot of these big foundations, like Red Cross, won't put them in. A lot of these big foundations, they give only a certain amount, small amount, go to the kids, you know. So I said, I'm not a big foundation, but I do have passion for what I do, and I do make a difference. And so I ask people to come on board and partner up or help me out to just get bigger, to do more things for the kids.
Look, I said it like I was kidding, but I really wasn't kidding. These guys in the NBA have got to know this is rank bullshit. They make so much more money than the women who are equally as talented and dedicated and hardworking. The least they could do is give some money for the kids. Let's hook that up.
So Kate on Twitter, it's at Jam Hurricane. Everyone at Twitter and Instagram, it is at Jam Hurricane. That's where you can find the connection. Feel free to put her in touch with everybody you know. She's looking for speaking gigs too. Simone's got an unstoppable need to get on some more stages. So we can do that virtually and otherwise.
And a story that people need to hear.
And Deb Stuff says, solid gold goals. Love Simone.
People
Amazon
agree with me.
Smile.
The solid goals are my senior teams. I love them. Oh my gosh.
Oh, right. Perfect.
Yes.
That is great.
You and your Twitter account. Determined for you to do.
All right. So we're coming to the end of the show. We got to do a couple things. So I will walk you through that. We are going to do a person of the day. After that banner falls off the screen.
All right, Fussy.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Well, I had somebody all the way to the last second, but I'm going to give it to Marianne. Marianne's our person of the day. Hey, Marianne, are you involved in cryptocurrency? Because you're invited to be now.
Come and send you some.
Come and find us.
And if you don't know anything about cryptocurrency, it's money. So we'll send you some.
Hurricane.
Hurricane is the password.
The password for tonight.
Yep. So I'll send you some backpack coin.
Marianne, just email carrie@chrisbrogan.com.
I'll put it up.
So we'll send you some coin. So there's that. Two other. Oh, we didn't tell you this part, Simone, but you'll get it. It won't be so hard. Yes. Carrie, you go ahead and put up your banner.
I am.
All right. Marianne, just go ahead and send an email to Carrie at that name and address right there. carrie@chrisbrogan.com. We'll walk you through it. It's not that hard. You sign up for a free account, and then we put money in it. That's not bad. All right. We ask one question of every guest who's ever been on here. Sir Mix-a-Lot, 5-time beatbox champion, Butterscotch, Sister Ann Flanagan of the Daughters of St. Paul, and so on. What goes in your backpack? Now, this can be something physical, like Apple. It could be something metaphorical, like hope for the future. Carrie, what's a good example of something physical you could put in a backpack?
A book you hate, because eventually if it's the only book you've got with you, you'll read it and learn something new from it.
That's a pretty goodie. There could be something metaphorical in your backpack. What's a good metaphorical something?
Kindness, maybe?
Kindness is a great one. Simone Edwards, you can add something to the backpack. One thing, be it physical or metaphorical, could be whatever you want. What should go in that backpack?
A sugar cane.
Sugar cane, so you can use it to make rum or candy. Or...
I love sugar cane. It's just, and I carry a lot of to it. So I'm a sugar cane baby. So if I could put anything in my backpack, it's sugar cane. It just gives me that energy. And it, from home, it bring a lot of different memories from home. When my mama used to take me to the supermarket, to the market, And I'm so little, I got on her shirt. And at the end, she always buy me sugar cane. So from then, I was just in love with sugar cane. It reminded me of her. She died. And so it's sugar
cane. Sorry.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Mama. For Kate, there's an email you can write to right there. Simone for Children, just like the website name, simoneforchildren@gmail.com. Drop yes. them right there. Oof. So we did it. We made it all the way through a show.
Your grandmother play any b-ball, Chris?
You know, my grandmother is not especially well known for her hoop skills. She was not even 5 feet tall. But like a couple people in Simone's family, she liked to cook. And she never let anybody go hungry. So that story, though, about taking the kid down to get some food at the store, my grandfather was that guy in the neighborhood. Back when your kids would go with anybody, back when there were no seat belts and all the kids just bounced in the back seat.
Back when you would stand up in the back seat while your parents drove through town.
You'd take all the neighborhood kids. There could be six of them in there to get ice cream. But I'll tell you, one of the things that he did like that once caused a stir.